Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino.
Kasama ko ngayon si Marilu Jaime at ating pag-uusapan ng isa sa ilang mga sinusuot niyang mga papel na ginagampanan sa buhay o one of the many hats she wears in life. Magandang araw, Marilu!
Magandang araw!
So, by trade, by day, pwede natin sabihin, ikaw ay isang engineering consultant?
Yes, I am. Yes.
So, anong ginagawa ng engineering consultant?
Is it okay if I answer in English?
Sure, no problem.
My Tagalog is balubuloktot.
Walang problema.
So, I'm a loss prevention engineer. But my background is in chemical engineering and chemistry. So I did a double degree, so engineering and science. For a loss prevention engineer, it's actually it's a reasonably specialized profession. So there's not a lot of us around, and I work in what's called the major hazard facility, major hazard industries. So things like chemical plants, offshore oil rigs and offshore oil and gas mining, that kind of thing. So, and my specific specialty is in technical safety. I look at the design of a plant or a facility and look at ways to optimize the design so that you prevent what are called major accidents from happening, things that can kill multiple people, either on site or off site, so the public. And also mitigate those events. So things that, I guess, aspects of emergency response.
So kumbaga sa opisina, ikaw yung health and safety officer in a larger scale, correct?
No, not really. A lot of people tend to confuse a health and safety officer with a loss prevention engineer. So saying health and safety officer generally tends to look at occupational health and safety. Yung ba mga slips, trips, and falls, that kind of thing. Whereas a loss prevention engineer looks at things like, you know, yung design ng control system, yung design ng fire protection system.
So yung
technical, we model the fire, we model the gas releases, that kind of thing, and then we look at, you know, how can we control this by coordinating, you know, emergency response, optimizing yung design. You know, we might replace a unit so that it's safer. So it's whereas a health and safety officer tends to have the qualifications around occupational health and safety, it's a prerequisite to be an engineer, to be a loss prevention engineer.
So tinitingnan mo mismo yung mga equipment at saka yung mga systems na ginagamit.
That's right. So process safety talaga. So I don't really work in sort of low hazard industries. It tends to be major hazards.
Madami bang mga kababaihan sa industriya mo o mabibilang lang kayo?
Mabibilang lang. Especially sa loss prevention, there's really, it's a multidisciplinary job as well. So you're not, even though my background is in chemical engineering, you're expected to understand pretty much all aspects of engineering to a level that it's functional.
What is it like working in a male-dominated industry?
It's been interesting. I mean, to be honest, traditionally, chemical engineering has attracted maybe about 25% female. But then to specialize in something like loss prevention engineering, it's even less. Safety is kind of one of those things, especially technical safety. You don't actually make money for the project, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You actually sort of make a case for the project to spend money. And there's a certain level of almost like, I wouldn't say bravado, but assertiveness.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like required to get your point across, because it's not, loss prevention engineering is not necessarily a yes or no type discipline. So it's
have
not
to
like
be articulate. And
yes, you have to be
firm.
Reasonably articulate and reasonably assertive. I wouldn't say aggressive, assertive, which traditionally has been a little bit difficult for females.
And for Filipinas especially.
And for Filipinos and Asians.
Yes.
So it's a bit of a triple whammy, I suppose.
So you've been in that industry for a long period of time, a reasonably long period of time.
18 years, actually. Yeah. So I started off in this industry as soon as I left uni, which is actually unusual. Loss prevention engineering is not something that graduates traditionally get into. You need to have a little bit of a history working in the industry before you really should become a loss prevention engineer. It just so happens that I, by twist of fate, that I landed a loss prevention engineering job straight out.
But your work requires you to have flexible hours, correct? Yung work mo, it's not a 9-to-5 job.
No, it's not necessarily a 9-to-5 job because I am a consultant, and obviously we're not manning a storefront or anything like that. You can sometimes work on projects that involve several time zones. Sometimes you're required to have a telecon at, you know, in the middle of the night with somebody in London or something like that. For myself, I tend to like working fairly late at night. It's just, I guess that's just my biology, and it's quieter that way. So it's, you know, as long as you basically get the job done, it's fairly flexible.
And a few years ago, you embarked on a new kind of adventure. Can we say adventure?
Yes, it has been an adventure, yes.
So you have a piece of land.
Yep.
And you converted it into can we describe it as a flower farm?
Well, the conversion is not yet finished. So I haven't converted it yet, but it's getting there. So every season, I've actually just ticked over on 3 years since I acquired this piece of land. And the main reason I actually wanted it initially was to have somewhere where I can go and, you know, escape what I do as a day job. Day being quite a very flexible term in this case, because loss prevention engineering is quite a stressful job, as you could probably imagine. I wanted somewhere where I can basically get away, sit, admire nature, and just, I don't know, stare into the sky, really.
Relax,
really, yes. So I just wanted a large piece of land where I can just be myself and my dogs. And just relax. But
you weren't relaxing. You were planting.
No, that's right. It's actually a zoned farm for farming the piece of land. So my sister, who actually has quite an interest in perfumes, had been telling me to get into perfumery for such a long time because of my background in chemical engineering.
Yes.
And I also have quite a productive garden, I suppose, in Melbourne, because I quite like gardening. And she said, look, you should really get into perfumery. She really wanted to get into perfumery, but she didn't have the background. And I said, well, now we have the land, let's do this. So all I'd ever really wanted was a giant flower garden with, you know, and lots of trees. So I said, okay, let's make use of this land and make it into a giant flower garden.
You produce your own perfume in your backyard,
correct.
So
yes,
to speak.
That's correct.
How has
and
it been?
It was basically last year was our inaugural year.
And you call it Ojeda, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes, Ojeda. Or Ojeda.
Who is Ojeda?
Ojeda is actually my maternal grandmother's maiden name. I have a reasonably strong, I guess, affinity or connection to my maternal family. Are really quite dear to me. I've always had fond memories of being at my maternal grandparents' place as well, and my maternal grandfather is actually a farmer as well.
How did you pick the plants or the flowers to plant?
Well, this has been really interesting because I had hoped to initially concentrate on native scents, and I still want to do that. Now, the soil is unfortunately a little bit nutrient deplete in a lot of sections of the farm. So I actually went through a process of hiring a farm consultant to look at the type of soil, to look at what might actually be compatible for that area. Because it used to be pasture land as well, it's not very well vegetated in some sections of the farm. And because of the slope of it, it's actually some of the topsoils actually sort of run off. So it's been interesting trying to find things that are compatible to not only the soil, but the, the climate pattern in the region, where it can get quite hot, especially now in this in the era of climate change.
Yes.
It can also get quite frosty, and it can get quite waterlogged. So it's really quite, you know, extreme. So trying to find things that are that can survive all those conditions has been quite interesting. You can do as much reading as you can, but at the end of the day, it's almost like trial and error, to be honest.
So it's hit and miss, as they say.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, except for the bulbs, actually. So now that I've actually started on a few bulbs at the plant at the farm. So initially, I'd been putting in what I call pioneer plants, I guess. You know, some of the plants that I think I'd want to grow, and I think might be compatible with the soil.
Mm-hmm.
I put them in without intervention. That's in the first couple of years of the farm. If they survive the range of conditions, great. If they don't, oh well, you don't qualify.
Plant again.
Yeah, that's right. Fail.
So you've had a few, correct?
Yeah, so I've had like things like the native frangipani, for example, which I would love to have at the farm, and I still do. I have a couple of very sad-looking trees. I was kind of hoping to get a whole heap of them, but it is a subtropical plant, so plants like that require a little too much intervention.
You were at a few Sunday markets, if I'm not mistaken.
So last year we've I've actually started extracting some of the inaugural harvests from the farm and also from my garden in Melbourne.
So what was the reception like from the people at the market?
At first, it's primarily curiosity and one of surprise as well, generally because there's not really a lot of people who do a vertically integrated, farm-to-bottle type story in Australia. Mainly because you tend to need an awful lot of material to be able to get, you know, an economy of scale that will, you know, sustain you for it to be for you to make a living out of it, really. And eventually, you know, that's something that I would, you know, hope to be able to do. But you know,
but for now,
it's really sort of a journey of experimentation. See what works, see what doesn't, and people at the market have been, surprised at how different natural perfumes smell like, and the fact that I do tend to, I get a bit nerdy when I explain these things to attendees at the market, because, you know, you have to get to know the compounds from the actual plants themselves.
So you start uttering chemical symbols and...
Yes, well, not necessarily chemical symbols, but things like, you know, what are the types of preservatives that you know, come in commercial perfumes, the, you know, difference between synthetic and natural, and, you know, things like start talking about vapor pressures, reactions on your skin, which can sometimes overwhelm some of the market participants. Which is why I tend to employ the help of my sister.
Who's more mainstream in selling stuff.
that's correct. So because she doesn't necessarily have the technical background, she doesn't, you know, she'll never get to that. She never deviates to that kind of conversations. And I think she tends to have tends to appeal to the masses.
Yes. She'll tend to say, this will suit your personality and this will smell nice on a
that's
sunny
right,
day.
That's correct. Yes. And probably won't utter Latin names for plants or anything like that, which I tend to do as well. So I accept that I'm not exactly the storefront person or something.
So Maringkang salesperson. Maringkang sales rep.
Oh yes. my sister is basically quite a bit more personable when it comes to.
And isa kong nakita na subaybayan ay ikaw din yung nagtayo, or you built your own place, or you're building your own place in the farm.
Yes, basically. It's probably a little bit more impressive sounding than it actually is. But I did get a converted shipping container and did all the the majority of the internals. I did get a little bit of help from my brother, who's a tradie. So, but the bulk of it, things like, you know, putting in the insulation and doing the floor, that kind of thing, and the plastering, I essentially did myself.
And can we say this place is what they call nowadays as unplugged?
Yes, it is. It's completely standalone, so it has its own solar power supply, which I wired up myself as well. I can't call myself an engineer if I couldn't wire up.
Yeah, I was going to say, it pays to be an engineer.
Yes. If I couldn't wire a simple 12-volt system, that'll be a little bit shameful, isn't it? If you couldn't really call yourself an engineer. And, you know, it uses rainwater as well and uses a ceramic filtering system for drinking, that kind of thing. And at the moment, it's a hole in the ground for the toilet, but, you know, it basically has it'll have a composting toilet that the kind that you get in tiny houses.
Yes.
I don't know whether you know that one. So yeah, so it's a fairly simple setup. So
it's a work in progress, like your farm.
Yeah, and it's certainly off grid completely.
Ito talaga yung place na you unplug everything, and you just go there and lose yourself in the environment.
Absolutely. There's no TV there, and we'll never have a TV there. Probably get a projector at some point, so you can have a outdoor viewing of things, but for 99% of the time, and the whole point is you're there to interact with the environment.
So what's next?
Well, we're taking a little bit of a market hiatus for the farm so that we can expand the bed, the flower beds at the farm, so it's another 7,000 bulbs coming in.
Wow.
Planted. Yeah.
You'd be busy.
Yeah, but I did get help. I mean, I get help from my sister again. So not only is she the marketing front person, she's also the
subcontractor planter.
Subcontractor planter, yes.
Maraming salamat, Marilu Jaime.
Okay, maraming salamat.
Comment, sundan ang SBS Filipino sa Facebook.